The range of Dollar Smith.
Hi, the meeting is not happening yet. Yeah, that one on the front office of Mississippi, so I'm just because I'm a person.
Okay.
So.
And I will just say, this person from Keyword, and I know your first name, but I don't know your last name, is filling in for the person that I have. I've been working with on the application who has a nursing application today, so I'm just definitely
Okay, any other questions? Hopefully you can get it. Well, I'm not that fast with one finger. Okay, we're in here. Okay, is there any motion to approve the other service, the library service agreements?
So in May 2016, VASCO updated the Fairview Fire Protection District here in Glenn, adopting a code for this year along with conditions. Our human service mission acknowledged the district has made significant strides towards resolving organizational issues, but also that more work was needed to be done for the district to operate as an effective and efficient public agency in the business of providing fire protection services to the residents and property owners in the unincorporated Fairview area. Today we have the District Board President, Leslie West, and the District Chief General Manager, Mike Mason, along with several other board members from the Fairview Fire Protection District, to present an update to the Commission regarding the implementation of the conditions, including the district's management audit and adoption of related policies and procedures. And I just want to note that the district, in its letter, included a request about what the phone's doing from the municipal service review that was listed within the commission of the sphere influence update, and this agenda item was not noted as an action item, so the commission did not take action on that thing. However, I would point out that as part of the discussion of the work plan and budget for next fiscal year, if the commission has some desire to modify that work plan and budget, you could do so, though I would point out that there is not a municipal service review budgeted for in the work plan for next fiscal year. So we can revisit it at that time if the commission wants to follow up with that. And with that, I will introduce Leslie West. And for my question, I'm not sure who's going first. Good day, work out.
Just to introduce myself, I'm Leslie West, President of the Fairview Fire Protection District, for the last 2.5 years now. And I, last time I saw you guys was on May 12th, and I asked for 9 months instead of 6 in order to bring us through the election, because we have an election cycle to ensure that we carry forward with the full board. And I couldn't be more proud today to say that we still have a full 5-member board that fully participatory in attending all of our meetings. I will say that I missed one, and it's because I had a business in Munich and Barcelona. So, it would be some of our other board members, and to get this right, is Mark McDaniel, Melissa Dimmick, and Michael Justice, who you may recall having before. Terry Choi, our other board member, and an active member of our community. So I'm very happy that we're a full board. I kind of take care of some of the decisions we saw last year with, as we had an aging board, they were as participatory as they would have liked to have been. So in working along with the lack of resolution and adoption from last year, we also sent more directly hired Mike Preston to be our general manager. He carries with him 31 years of fire experience for the city of New York and retired as fire chief some years ago. And, as much as we put it out to bid, as much as we've, you know, there's other candidates that have the opportunity to come to the table, Mike Preston definitely elevated himself above all else, being able to provide us with a level of experience, professionalism, and ability to help us with the role. And since then, we've also put, you know, the job description, getting him on payroll with Allegheny County, a little bit of a slow process, as some of these things are. But we're certainly moving in the right direction, and Preston's been with us a long time. He's also been a previous board member. He knows the ins and outs of how our board should be run and has an insight to regard fire services communicating with our fire services with neighbors and ensuring that we're guiding our eyes across their teams and ensuring the fire service. So we've been to the election. Now we have a general manager. We've also put together our governance plan. Because in our situation, we have our board, we have the city of Seaboard, and we have our general manager. So the governance policy really nicely outlines how each of these three groups need to work together and ensures a kind of, management structure. So I'm sure there isn't confusion because in years past, we had community members, we had board members, and we had other folks that felt very passionate about fire services going into the city of Seaboard and saying, well, we need this and we need that, and that resulted in a conflict of interest. And flows information and requests. So that's something on a management level that we have solved over the years. As a result of adding Mike, we have removed the board, as much the working board, which is really nice and it's taken me some time. The years have had some challenges and I've been able to focus more on my actual work while overseeing what's happening with the board and seeing it evolve, right, into a new and improved board and everything being participatory and getting things done. So on behalf of the board, we're up to date with everybody going through the Brown Act training, the conflict of interest codes. We have our 700 forms submitted. And we are absolutely on board with all of the requirements on board, right? In our fiscal policy and budget, you know, the reason I didn't do a whole, you know, PowerPoint today is because you've seen a lot of information from me in the last year and a half, and I don't need to go through all of the skinny details again. But we passed our preliminary budget last May. We passed our budget on time. Our revenues are up, our expenditures are down, and we're able to reallocate funds back to our community. We're so excited about it. We were able to give about $10,000 to our shipping program. It's a mixture of local and federal money in order to help reduce fire risk in the area. Because we want trees wind, we want brush removed, because we don't ever want them to fulfill fire type of scenario. In this last meeting, we even did our audit of 2016 expenditures and costs, and we're above board. In other words, we have more than, we're now bagging the black. A lot of districts have outspent savings, as we did through the economic downturn. It was late in 2015 that we had projected it would take 10 years to be back in the black, based on current projections and increases of 3% of revenue per year. We're ahead of schedule by 8 years, and we couldn't be more excited about it. And it's going to allow us to allocate funds and improve services for our community along the way. We're reviewing our fire services contract. As the current contract is beginning to come to an end. At the beginning, probably a year and a half out. But we want to give ourselves ample opportunity to review the contract, costs, and what Hayward is doing for us. We see some areas where we'd like a little bit more information, but they're doing an excellent job. In each and every board meeting, they give us a numerical figure of how many calls we're now in Station 8, and our accompanying Station 9, even though we're not paying for that station, what types of calls, whether they were emergency services, fire, or a cat on the roof. We have those too. Then, in addition to that fire services, they're telling us what addresses, just like this garbage room development, right? is that to know if there was in, the fire chief and fire marshal are able to go in and ensure that there's sprinklers and fire mitigation, how many trees are on the property, the number of structures, and ensure that it's not even a hazard to themselves but their neighbors as well. In 2016, this was revision to 17, back to our strategic plan. This was a goal that I was outlined for the board to complete some years ago. We implemented a strategic plan. And it's not something that's just sitting nicely on our webpage, but we have it together. We've outlined a number of strategic goals and objectives to meet in this year. And not only are we about 80% complete with a lot of those strategic goals and plans, but we are in progress to complete the rest of those things that we've outlined for ourselves. And Preston is definitely keeping us on board and on point. It's always a part of our attendance so that we can ensure to, ever call us out on the carpet, let's just say. We are ahead of schedule and doing exactly what we had outlined for ourselves. Here's a little bit more of the fluff, right? And when I say fluff, I'm like, that's what we get to do. It's a little more fun than the serious stuff. And that's our boardroom has become more free, right? There's always an effort of, whether you're looking at the corporate structure, that courthouse is already, I think we've got a little thing on the roof, don't we? So it's already green in that regard, but what can we do to make sure it's even further green? Behind our board table, we now have a big screen that's connected to the internet so that we can look at our agenda and our packet. Our constituents are able to pull the packet in advance of our meeting and follow along during the meeting to see the very information that the board is reviewing for consideration and vote. And that's a level of transparency, and it reduces our paper waste. If somebody requests a packet, we will absolutely provide it. But it reduces its 60-page packet to 10 copies sitting at the front table, when we walk in. Our constituents and board members can link into our phones and computers and pull it off our webpage and be up to date as of the day. So pull off our webpage, we now have implemented not only our agenda, our entire packet, and then we follow up with minutes. So we hope that we're going above and beyond the strategic plan. We're doing what's right for our environment and for our community. With the webpage, with things like Nextdoor app, and with our Facebook page, which I run the Facebook page, with the most recent storms, some of the utilities agencies here locally, the water district, we have some local flooding concerns. I was able to put those alerts out. We have 150 followers on our Facebook page. We have about 124 on our webpage. It means that we're more readily able to reach our community in real time. And then we have the red code alert on our webpage that says, give us your phone number and address, and if there's, say, a fire or a big earthquake or a road closes, then you're able to get those alerts and turn on your phone. So folks have to sign up for that. So that is pretty much the conclusion of today's presentation. We built that kind of gives you an overview of our efforts. We've met many of the last considerations that you guys have outlined and let me recap, and that's we have our general manager, Greg Preston. We have our governance policy in place that is now amended into our policies and procedures. We are in progress of updating our policies and procedures, and that's a big task. It's going to take us a year and a half. And some of the things like managing the web page, how we handle Facebook, how we now handle absences or disagreements that affect the operations of work and long-term process. How we ensure that having an employee again is outlined. So we're cognizant, and that is an in-progress type policies and procedures. It's going to take a while. So we just asked, we've been, the board, not myself, has been in front of you since I think 2012, right? So we just asked, maybe a couple of years, if not more, because I know on SSR is typically 5 years. I mean, we have the greatest amount of respect for you board, but we also understand you're as busy as we are to make the things happen for our community. Do you have any questions?
Yeah,
something that's a tremendous progress. Congratulations. I'm getting all that stuff, a lot of stuff you got done. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Questions from the commission?
Oh, I totally agree with Mayor Marshawn, and I think it's good. And what I really like is you have a smiling board. And so they're on board with what they're doing, and they're feeling comfortable.
They're not on board.
They are not bored there.
They're not on board.
Yeah, so good for you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Just have a real quick question. You mentioned that your general manager is part through Alameda County?
The payroll goes through Alameda County. So it does pre-exist to be an Alameda County employee, but it comes out of our funds.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is that hard to do?
The state law says the county is responsible for disbursing this for all fire districts.
So oh, really?
They can't, we're not accustomed to doing it, so it took a little while to navigate through the system. But
And then just you mentioned your old time board members. Charles Price is an old acquaintance. How is he doing there?
So I'll just do a little introduction, but it is, which is to say, September 2014, last go through an application from the City of Pleasanton to extend water and sewer services to a property located on Alameda Falls Street in the unincorporated Happy Valley area. Included in that approval was a condition that the commission complete a comprehensive study to identify how water and sewer services are provided to Happy Valley property, as opposed to extending such services on a case-by-case basis. The city completed the study and presented the study results to the city council on February 21st, and today we have Manager Nelson Gallo, who is getting us with his and Chief Patrick, who is the director of engineering for the city, to provide the results and study to the commission. And I just want to mention, as required in the last resolution, staff did mail notice of this agenda item to all of the unincorporated Happy Valley property owners. Thank you.
Yes, it's Tom Jones, the other president, Andy Ward, who was here in this presentation. As I'm going to summarize, this was conditioned as part of a private service area agreement that we instituted in Happy Valley area. When that was returned back to the city council to allocate the funds to the commission, the study, we instituted an interim policy at the time of not accepting any further water and sewer connections until the study was completed. We presented to the city council. So we did that on February 21st. The direction was to submit the study as detailed exactly as it was submitted to the city council through LAFCO 4, which is why we're here. The additional direction also was twofold. One was that the interim policy remain in place until the LAFCO board accepts the report. And then number two, that subsequent to that action, that we would engage with the county of Alameda to talk about whether there was an ability to extend services complicated and there are financial resources associated with that. Either through an kind of service area agreement that's comprehensive and involves the entire area, or annotation. So part two of that action after today would be to sit down with the county of Alameda and have a discussion about extending services to the Happy Valley area. So that's what I have to keep for Patrick for sitting here to review the details of the report.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Steve Kirkpatrick, City Engineer for the City of Pleasanton. I really go into a few things without more recession, but I go by the way back for us. I'll bear with them because I can't figure it out on my slides. I hear you're all happy with the presentation also. The background, why would you study the forms? That's what I want in your presentation. And I'm going to talk about the current costs for happy value customers. It happens a bit along in our city facilities on Sycamore Road and Alphonse Road. What costs are connected to sewer and water? Then I'm going to look at what the sewer water expenses are necessary to build into the Happy Valley area. There's a couple of interesting scenarios. One, the design to the existing parcels that are there. And then the second scenario is build out of the Happy Valley specific plants from 1997. That had 125 parcels. Parcels are all 2 acres in size, 2 acres in large, but that has the numbers that we're looking at. Then I'll give you a cost estimate to construct those utilities, then I'll break that down to the cost per parcel, and then I'm going to talk about the total cost per parcel for those facilities. So back to water over here, we actually went and we built water and sewer facilities along Sycamore and Alistair Road, and extended out to the golf course and housing developments that were there. And the Happy Valley area at the time had an opportunity to annex in and decided not to, but the council had a policy, made a policy at the time, the envelopes when those facilities were constructed, December 3rd, 2002, made a policy that case-by-case basis, people could come before us and ask for an out-of-service area agreement. And that has resulted in 14 water connections and 16 sewer connections to those facilities. On August 14th, we were looking at a property at 6723 Alistair Road. It went before City Council for a pre-annexation agreement, where they wanted to have a utility connection. The pre-annexation agreement was the first step in the process. September 14th, 2014, we came before this board and requested the out-of-service area agreement. Last one to approve that out-of-service area agreement, but conditioned the city then to not really use one of, like, the business policy from 2002, but look at this more holistically and look at what it's going to take to extend sort of the water to the study. So very quickly, the study area, this is the Happy Valley water system, and I'm going to use my cursor and I apologize for moving around, but this is Sycamore Road and then Alistair Road out to the golf course properties. This, as you can see, it cuts through the unincorporated area. Similarly, for sewer systems, sewer system comes up Sycamore Road, out Alistair Road, and up to the golf course properties. Again, it's got the same path through the unincorporated area. So when some of those folks, like 6723 Alistair, came before the city and requested a connection, there's a cost associated with that. First off, the pre-annexation agreement, the city has a processing fee. So this is an existing parcel in the unincorporated area right now without any extended utilities, just connections to this utility. The cost of this, $4,400, roughly $4,500 for a pre-annexation agreement. Then there was a pro rata share for both the water system that was built maybe to the golf course and pro rata share for the sewer system maybe to the golf course. In 2002, when the council had made the policy, realizing that an existing farm on Sycamore or Alistair was going to experience some traffic associated with the golf course, had set a policy that they would basically existing farm would get a cut rate, you know, on that pro rata share. A vacant parcel to construct after the fact would pay in full. So you see there's two different columns there. Will be the numbers that you see are quite different between the existing and the vacant parcel. Water connection fees, these are strictly zone 7 fees. So these are the fees of zone 7 charges in order for a customer to connect to and buy capacity into the existing system. Sewer connection fees, likewise, these are strictly DSRSD fees. These are buying your into the capacity of the DSRSD plants. Water meter fees are a nominal fee, but this is actually the cost of the water meter and the installation of the water meter. From there, when we made the connection, we allowed connection into the sewer and water system. We also required them to abandon an existing septic system on site and an existing potable water system on site. So you see in the existing voltage numbers there, there's a broad range of things that can go into this, but for an order of magnitude, that 15,000 is about the number. And then the last one out to this area processing fee itself. So you can see for a house that is on Alcell or on Sycamore, an existing home pays about $110,000 to connect to sewer and water. A vacant parcel to develop pays about $140,000. So, and this is a slide that's right, this is a picture that's right out of the bottom of the study, and I know we're very busy and I apologize. But basically, we have our existing backbone, which we saw, and then you see our water systems on Holy Canal extending into other areas of the Happy Valley. Some Happy Valley Road, Bird Lane, Parson Bird Lane, et cetera. So that would be the proposed water system. And the study goes into a lot of details here regarding water pressures, flow rates, fire flow, and I'm not going to go into that. I'm just going to outline these things. So if you're interested in that, we can talk about it. Likewise, for the sewer system, we show the expansion of the sewer system into the Happy Valley area. Off of that main chart, the Hood Up, Alisal, and Sycamore, Sycamore and Alisal, and also up Happy Valley Road itself. So that is the extension of the system. So then, when we went through and looked at what is the cost to do that extension, well, in scenario one, it is the total cost, which we do, is about $5.35 million. Scenario 2 at that 125. There's only a little bit of difference, quite frankly, between the two scenarios. It's one of the parcels that's large is dividing up. We've got some really where it comes from. So the cost there is $5.7 million to extend our existing utilities in order to capture every property in the Happy Valley area. This system is based on the subject of the ESCO code. It requires a direct connection to the public utility for any property that you can. There's no private laterals that are at multiple properties on it, et cetera. So then we went through and looked at what is the cost per parcel then if you wanted to figure out a way of trying to fund maybe these two different options. So we said $5.35 million is a simple math divided by the 92, 58,000, and it went to 125 parcels, the cost would be about 46,000 to get. So then going through a similar scenario as we went through with those houses that are on Sycamore and Alisal, we went through and the annexation agreement, the pro-rata share, the sewer connection fees, et cetera, and added in the cost to pay the pro-rata share of the utility extension. The cost came up to about $156,000 to $168,000 for an existing home, vacant parcel, if you can see the numbers there, of about $182,000 to $195,000.
What we did, I just want to make sure that I'm not following. So basically, the last previous slide. So basically, if you just find the ad before, 110,000 versus 141 per day, you just added that to the cost of first connection.
So you added that to the cost of connection. So I think logically we thought that every property in the unincorporated Happy Valley area would contribute to its cost. It sort of makes sense. But as I mentioned, because of the one-off policy that we had and we ended up with 14 connections to sewer and 15 connections to water, would those people really come back and participate in that 46,000 or that 58,000? It would be more difficult, I think, when we have a mechanism to require them to do so. So if you remove those from the scenario, then there's, it would be 52,000 based on that build-out, less the people that are already connected in round numbers. I use 58, but it was 54,000 in round number. 52,000 and 77, it'd be 70,000 for 77 parcels. So using the same thing for the shortest data, so 1 through 6 are the same as you usually have. Then put in that 52,000 to 70,000, including you couldn't go backwards and collect. And so the numbers there went for an existing home up to $180,000, for a vacant parcel up to $210,000. So when we presented this to council on February 21st and presented these numbers, council authorized that and funding for that to award and present the studies, the archaeological studies. To the board. Also, meet with us, as John mentioned, in terms of if there's interest in moving forward with it and how do we go about doing that. Because the notes also mentioned when they awarded this study, because there were these one-offs that were, could be taken away from that denominator and forced to cost them, but an interim policy in place that said, oh, let's not accept connections until we fully understand that. So that's kind of where we are at this point in time. And that's kind of where council left us to talk to the county about last over the final direction and determine whether we're going to holistically do this or go back to the interim one-off type application.
When is your service report from the county?
Well, I think a comprehensive strategy is connected whether that's to do this as a contract, much like we do for capital and water services and maintenance services. To have the county or the county residents in that council, and if we do that, how do we comprehensively do that and financially? How do the ratepayers and something that, you know, get compensated for that? That's one option. The other option is to sit down and talk to the county about whether we should jointly pursue annexation of the area. And if we do that, there's other issues. There's those water and sewer issues, but there's also and other infrastructure issues that have to be addressed, and also how that be financed. There's three buckets where the money sits. One is with the county to subsidize the extension. The other one, the other extreme example is the city to subsidize the ratepayers and subsidize the extension, and they can be paid back over time by ratepayers or partially paid back by the county that allocated for that extension. And the third bucket is the residents, and we've outlined the per parcel cost. And so the analysis shows 100% of the cost being absorbed by residents. So, you know, maybe there's a formula, a methodology, or cost or per share. So we just want to start the discussion.
So would this be like some sort of figuring out about how to put a lot of thought into it? I mean, because the better answer that I heard from a council member thought the county should just pay for it. But is it some sort of like capital bond or?
Well, it could be financed or it can be through a bond of some type, a utility bond, community service district bond.
Would it be a bond that's slightly done with the city and the county or just the county? Or?
It could be either or.
Is there a, I guess there is, because we jointly did one to build the Coliseum. I was going to ask, is there a mechanism where the state and county have done bonds in the past, a state and county? I wouldn't recommend that that's a success story.
You know, I think when asked publicly, and there have been several questions about this issue, you know, our initial position, it's probably not something that the county would appreciate, which is utility has been paid for by the ratepayers of what we do, including the backbone of the system. And so you can question whether or not providing that subsidy to unincorporated residents is something appropriate to do from a policy perspective. And so what's missing is the funding to provide that extension, and then in return allow the city to provide services either annexed or under contract with the county of Alameda. And so that's really part two discussion after last week in touch this report is how do we want to approach this. If there's no interest in solving this issue long term, as Steve said, we would revert back to our old policy. We would lift the insurance policy of not accepting water and sewer connections. And
just
handle them on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, I'm not surprised that they're represented that district anymore. I kind of wish he was there today. So, mentally, I just wanted to get my arms around some of the things we were thinking, but not to remembering those days. I think a lot of those residents didn't want the golf course in the first place, so they would have been happy to be on sewer, or being on septic and pumping their wells and being left alone.
and some of those have been the case. There were also been back because of the golf course. So, you know, I mean, I think there's two ways of looking at this. I hear what you're saying, but then they'll throw an argument. People who live out on Happy Valley, they'll throw an argument back. So maybe there isn't a reason for me now to sit down and have a discussion. To see, because I think ultimately it's better that we put sewer or sewage to retrieve the plant as opposed to just putting it through a septic tank. To be honest with you, Scott, I think it begs the question to have a more comprehensive discussion, and quite frankly, I personally would hope that they would look at annexation myself. Now, you said that begs other infrastructure questions. Is that like road width? Think about that.
Road, fire island. Anything where the gas tunnels flow and what we're in.
Other state type issues.
Scott, when we did capital improvements, we did an assessment district. We had the same issues. Those folks didn't want streetlights. They already had their own street maintenance program. But they assessed themselves to improve or upgrade the water and sewer systems. Is that a possibility here?
Yeah, so that's an example of saying that the model capital is like a dream when I described. In that case, you assess yourselves,
right.
You have bond proceeds, and then you're doing the improvements consistent with water studies that was done, water and sewer studies that was done a few years back, and then the county got a new state level to administer services out there on your behalf. So that's one example. The other example is to extend the services as I described and not annex, and that becomes a financial problem or obstacle that you have to be overcome. It's not annexed, but the services are provided.
Yeah.
And then the other alternative is annexation.
Any questions? Maybe it's up for you to have the speech.
If we go back to the session one-off, if people come in, we don't capture, we really can't have a method of capturing the additional lease as to the extension cost that those $5 million or so dollars. Is there any thought given as to how to capture that from newer development? I especially on the map, is it 125 potential, or is that a delta between the existing and the ultimate build-out of 125.
125 is the ultimate build-out number of
parcels. Okay, so the really delta is one of the 26, 27, whatever the number is, it's delta 22.
There are 92 existing parcels. Not all of them have property time. Not all of them have the residence zone yet. And this is all based on
I'm not trying to suggest, I'm just wondering if, you know, if there's a method to at least capture some of the funds from that 30 some odd parcels that are technically now in development, if you capture some of the buses, if they all just come in and pay the 109, which is a higher number, you really have to pay for the position. I mean, if somebody's not on the street, they would have to pay for themselves to extend, to be approved and extend all the way out, and in essence benefit some intervening.
Yeah. Do more. I can understand. And I think it's important to note that the cost of it is the system has to be built in its entirety, and then it's a reimbursement that the chief will come on all of the assets.
Right. Okay. They finished painting out the parking lot, so they've opened up those spaces. So if you are parked in the fire lane, take this time to move your car so you get to move it, nobody else does it. It doesn't matter how you get it out. So if you think you're going to have a sketchy place, you've got to check the car, otherwise
If you want to just talk about the fact that I mean, you're good. Okay, I do have a speaker called Tim McDonald. Do I have a few to speak?
Members of Blasco, staff, and citizens of Alameda County. I'm Peter McDonald, here representing Cole Eve's team. Cole Eve and his wife, Anna Deep, home, 622 Happy Valley Road. The property is near the city of Tulsa, and that's what city water main, but it is within unincorporated Happy Valley. The house at 622 Happy Valley was burned down in 2009. The barns, the well, the gas, and the electric service all remain intact for when the home can be rebuilt. Well, people applied to the city for a pre-annexation in January 2016. So Pleasanton has been waiting for the outcome of the water and sewer study in Happy Valley, which has not been completed. I understand what the city council said on February 21st when the study was presented to them. Unless LAFCO objects to processing individual pre-annexation agreements, the city would resume processing those applications after the water and sewer study is considered by LAFCO. The 2014 resolution initiated in did not prohibit pre-annexation agreements. I understand federal out-of-service area applications from Happy Valley have been approved since 2013. This is consistent with LAFCO's mission. It is not road conducive to allow a person whose home has burned down to rebuild their home. Ideally, we would like clarification that LAFCO does not prohibit the processing of hardship out-of-area service applications, while the larger questions of the future of utilities for Happy Valley are under discussion.
Okay, so speaker card is going to discussion.
I'm going to compliment the city engineer and all of our engineers very thorough study. I think that you went through many of the complicated issues, and I hope certainly the city and the county came together and discussed the best thing to do is for the city, the county, and for potential residents. I know the county has had a strong program trying to do away with septic tanks, which certainly makes a lot of sense. Motherboard had issues with septic in the past too, so I would think after this study it makes sense for the two parties to get together and try to come up with a solution that works.
A couple of detailed questions. You mentioned that that didn't include fire hydrants. The system is designed for fire protection, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. This is designed for fire as well, and fire hydrants are installed on this water line at the same standards as
right.
Small.
The last speaker, the city manager, is there something you can do in that regard? I mean, it contingent on ballot discussion between the city and county, and we know that can go on forever. And because I understand it, I don't know everything. I always know there's two sides of the story, but this is a house that burned down. So it's really rebuilding a new house. I'm sure it's a 1,200 square foot house burned down. No one knows it's a 12,000 square foot house. I get all that. But is there a way that is there a way that we can allow this house to move forward?
The answer is yes. We actually have the items scheduled on our having the liaison meeting and supervisor finance in 2 weeks. So it's going to be a pretty rapid discussion to introduce the concept. And my sense is, as soon as we have that discussion, we determine whether or not there's interest that will allow me to position an opportunity to recommended to council to list the insurance policies
in process years.
Well, Supervisor Miley staff's here. I realize John's part of the group here, but can I just say there is interest and we're willing to do this? Is that good enough that it offered Supervisor Miley staff to move forward today?
The other thing we need to hear from LAFCO is LAFCO has no objections to us opening up and not holding up these applications.
Well, we have, I think the key is we just want acceptance of the report. And then part two is we will rapidly have a discussion with the county, and the county will tell us generally whether or not they're interested. My sense is that they are, and that's good enough for us to list an interim policy. Begin accepting the one-offs while we also
So, can I give you that word today, or has it got to come from my maintenance staff that's there for us?
It would be great to hear from you.
You're close to, if not exceeding, the limitations that were proposed and implemented by the voters. So I always think that's one area that I've not heard anybody discussing at this point in time. That's something that needs to be considered.
Yeah. There's a whole lab component to this that also has to be done. Supervisor Haggerty's point, yes, absolutely, that takes us to the finish line.
Any further discussion, or is there a motion to accept the report?
Well, I'll make the motion to accept the report. Is the second one.
I'll second.
Moved by Secretary Spadaro, Secretary Fisher.
So, excuse me, just before we vote on this matter, it wasn't noticed as an action item to accept the report, but rather just to hear the presentation. So I'm not sure that's something, I don't know if you need to...
You don't need formal acceptance.
Okay. I think it was really a presentation that was required by the resolution. So I don't want to stop the discussion.
We just heard it.
Okay.
Close it
down.
Okay.
Some of it is just, the caring about the will of the folks in Happy Valley is, what do they want? I think I agree with Commissioner Haggerty that I can imagine that the second issue is not going to go away. And I understand the county may be close to having some improvements made that will allow more, or a lot of septic systems to put in, but the point is, it's still a problem. I mean, it would be better if they were, they would be hooked up to a municipal and even water to help that you'd probably be better hooked up to a municipal service. It's not just a quality reason. So what I'm afraid of is if we start to take things, are we missing an opportunity to at least accrue some sort of funds toward the ultimate build-out. That's my, and that has to do with the will of the people, or the willingness of the CSA or some other municipal financing device. I would lose an opportunity here if we don't continue the discussion. And obviously, Mr. Stain is going to pay about $110,000 no matter what. That was, I understand it. So this isn't last time I'm going to have 7-15 home. So I wasn't sure what that meant, but anyway, but still, it's a substantial amount of money, I would imagine. You probably upsize the meters and get that better idea. I think people need to move forward with this, but I do want to say that I think there is an opportunity here
because, you know, I assume that some of these properties are going to develop, and is that the time to capture that fund, and is it fair to capture just this incremental value and not find another funding source to be able to build up? Because I can see where someone's not on the street, says, I want to build, and this is doing well. Sorry, if you say that's finally built, that's not going to happen. Of course not.
So Nelson, can't we just take up the phone and call them and see if we can agree to start or to set up or about them?
All right, so do I actually have any further discussions?
The proposed budget work plan is presented today for the commission to meet the statutory requirements to adopt a proposed budget by May 1st and a final budget by June 15th. The commission's policy and financial budget committee met on February 22nd to discuss the proposed budget and work plan. And the committee members are Commissioners Johnson, Marchand, and Rico. Detailed information on the proposed budget and work plan is provided in the staff report. The total appropriations are budgeted at $768,345, which includes the $50,000 contingency amount. And the proposed budget reflects approximately 7.5% increase in the appropriations from the current year budget, and that's primarily due to staffing changes. And those staffing changes are a result of reassignments in the county administrator's office at the end last April. And our last home first position is now filled at 0.65 MPE, which is down from 1.0 MPE. And recently a half-time administrative analyst was added assigned to LASCO. The proposed budget reflects these staffing changes, but includes a three-quarters time administrative analyst to help compensate for the reduction in time in the clerk position. Other notable increases include legal counsel and consultants. And the legal counsel increase is based on recent experience over the past couple of years and the level of complicated applications that the commission has considered. We very much value our legal counsel's advice. The consultant increase is in anticipation of completing a water and wastewater technical service review in the next fiscal year and updating the related spheres of influence for those local agencies. The travel and training line item includes costs associated with attending the annual conference, which will be in San Diego next fiscal year, and an additional staff person to attend the staff workshop. It also includes costs associated with the CalLASCO Board of Directors and Legislative Committee activities that Commissioner Marchand and Fondorio engaged, which are also very much appreciated. Thank you. On the revenue side, application fees are budgeted slightly higher at $30,000 to reflect an expected continuation of higher application activity and processing of even more complicated applications. The proposed budget assumes that there will be $150,000 again in fund balance, and that will be applied to offset the portion, the net operating costs that are bringing down to the individual agencies. And those individual agency apportionment amounts are determined by the county auditor according to a formula that's in the law. And I would expect to have that information as part of the final budget presentation in May for the commission. The action requested today is for the commission to consider and approve the proposed budget work plan, along with any desired changes, and to direct staff to prepare the final fiscal year 2017-2018 budget and work plan for adoption at the commission's May 11th meeting. And if you have any changes or discussion about it, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Have we fully funded the strategic planning workshop?
There is funding in the consulting line item that would be available.
Yeah. And that would be assumed the cost of already the
place.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, is there a motion?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
In answer to Commissioner Uchik's question, I would say, I was not assuming that the Commission had already approved it. So while there is money in the consultant's line item that could cover those costs, because depending on what the Commission decides today, I would likely want to hire a consultant. There may be a need to increase that. So I appreciate you asking that question. So for this line item, for this agenda item rather, this provides provided some information in the staff report on the outcomes of our February 22nd meeting, and I just want to point out that among the things that the committee heard about were the legislator outreach activities that staff is pursuing to try to meet and reach our local legislators and have a conversation about LASO and who we are and what we do, because it seems that that we needed piece of education in Sacramento. I also presented some information about what staff did regarding implementation of SB 1266, which was a law passed last year requiring joint towers authorities to file their agreements with local LASOs. And so just to update the commission, LASO sent out letters to all our member agencies, the county, the cities, and the special districts, asking them to tell them about Alpha Law and asking them to please file their agreement. I believe we have 4 to 5 agreements filed at this time. And then I also provided information to the committee about a new requirement requiring LASOs to have a role in appointing special district members to what we call a consolidated redevelopment agency for oversight board. And Alpha County is one of the counties that will have such an oversight board, so I expect to have some role in that, and I'm still trying to figure it out. That's a new thing that LASA will be involved in, primarily due to the fact that there's an organization that's created under LASA law called the Independent Special District Election Committee, which appoints special district members to LASO. And because that entity already existed when this requirement came up to appoint special district members to the oversight board, I guess the special district thought, well, let's just use that mechanism. So I know very little about redevelopment agencies or the oversight board, so it'll be an interesting educational opportunity for me. And then also as mentioned in the staff report, I talked to the committee about whether they thought it was time to review LASO's strategic plan, which was done in 2014. And they agreed that it was something that they thought should be done, and they recommend that the commission hold a facilitated strategic planning session. Commissioner Pico has some specific ideas about what should be included, so perhaps you'd like to elaborate on that statement, or not?
Part of my goal of having a strategic plan is to have us take a look back at the last 4 or 5 years that we've had meetings, and then we've reviewed a lot of issues on infrastructure and other issues within the county, and to perhaps as part of the specific plan or strategic plan, decide whether or not we would like to put together some kind of a state of the county from a lawful perspective, and especially if we would like to have a greater voice in the regional housing plan that will be coming up in a year or so. So I think it would be helpful for us to kind of step back now and reassess the information that we've had and your cities and sort of make it any sense at all, if there are any serious strategic areas that we need to address or see or focus potential implementation. That's kind of an issue. Yeah. Yeah.
Following up on reading what you discussed, I think it would be very good in a workshop to sort of take another look at ag and open space. I think we put a lot of faith in Measure D. I'd like to know if that faith is a good thing, or do we need to do something more? I keep looking at most of the open space we're talking about in this county is out in our area. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how good that protection is, so I think we ought to address it and think possibly what could enhance that opportunity. Is there some way we can improve agriculture? Some way we can do some things? And I think we don't have to copy off the cuff, but certainly I know did something recently on this issue. So I think we ought to think about what can we do for the long term, for people in the future. And
I
just want more confidence
in it.
And I think that would be an important part of the workshop.
Well, there's a lot of lines. Maybe we should talk to people and find out how much it has affected people who own property out of the legislative area.
Yeah.
Because we talk about contra costa county. Contra costa county allows people to take things on the land that actually helps them survive.
Well,
in
discussing Measure D, look at all aspects of it.
And it might be interesting to find out, or maybe look at how Measure D, I'm not saying it has or has not,
yeah.
So how has it affected affordable housing too?
If we're going to get into this discussion,
well,
I have my own personal view also about Plan A area.
Well, I can tell you. Go for it.
Let me tell you, I look at traffic, I look at emissions in Fremont, I look at what's happening throughout the valley. You talk about housing. That was listed here in something on this to be discussed. If you want to talk about good planning, I'm sorry, building huge facilities in another county with no housing is stupid. And what does it do to all of us? We have the traffic impact with no money to handle
it. I think they're now finding out that jamming all the housing into the 3-year course was not a good idea. And they're starting out to reduce that 2-year option. Which is one of the reasons I already mentioned there is that it didn't seem to make sense to me actually.
I think you're right.
They are rethinking this.
Well, I think we could give them our input, right? So I think it would be an exciting workshop, right? Keep us all awake.
You don't listen to the health plan while they're listening.
Who knows? We need a few millionaires
down there. Let me ask something that maybe is a little further afield, but it's tied into the more of the regional planning. I have contact with other commissioners from other Bay Area counties because of Cal Lab company, but you know, there seems to be a sort of disparate view of the world depending on which part of the Bay.
Yeah. Not new.
And it's reflected in the last commission, and I don't know if there's a mechanism, if there's just a Bay Area, whether it's a workshop, a strategic planning, at least here's a Bay approach. We all deal with the same issue. And by the way, they do have Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
They don't show up or anything. but there is maybe a way to share how other people either get educated or we share our viewpoints. I know you do it again, the big organizations that all the elected people sit on, to a certain extent. But I think I've always wondered about that, about how useful might that be. I know the lack of staff was
I think you're adding just to add more frustration to your life.
But Let's try it here. I'm not retired in the water, so you're in Island Animal Preservation.
Are you saying that all the night you hear these?
Oh my God.
No, I'm just throwing it out there, and I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, when I talk to them, it's clearly the same issue, but we approach it differently. That's all.
I know a woman in Livermore that lost her property because the arena, the open air horse arena that she wanted to build exceeded her FAR. It's just a horse arena. Her horses are on exceeded the FAR. And she couldn't train horses.
Well, you can go all aspects. I think there's something that goes to sheep and cow or something with the veterinary town. Yeah.
Well, and then that was I remember when I was at the Ag Advisory Committee, it was in the Cache Valley, the equestrian facility, this spot, it could be an interpretation of an open air arena, and, or, because it had, one side had a wall or something like that, and that was a structure, and an FAR, we can buy an FAR, and I don't think open air arena is,
you know, you're going to build a pool or a shelter if you want me to bring you up.
But anyway, I think there's both of you, and it's got to take a look at it and see.
I'm saying if we're going to talk about it, we should talk to the people who deal with it on a daily basis and how it's impacted them. Because they're the ones that are struggling to raise their mortgage. And it's great to have people come down out of Golden and tell them what their property should look like.
And it might be that people are interested in listening to real agriculturalists who are just not going to be negative, but tell them some examples of things that would improve the ability for agriculture to continue here. Isn't that part of what it's all about, trying to find a way to keep it going? We've got a lot of people at pistachios and vendors and all, but there may be some other opportunities, and part of that is definitely, if you can afford it, courses.
We'll get some reason to think about this. It seems to me that to the extent these are unintended consequences of what some people thought would be a good thing, then there could be some recognition of that. If on the other hand this is exactly what everybody wanted and they got it, then that will be a different thing. I hope it's the first. Because indeed, as Supervisor Hagney mentioned, there's example after example of what I hope are unintended consequences. Yeah, I can
tell that. I don't think it's bad. I think we should be as a whole has been good. I think it's been very good. But I think there has been a few unintended consequences that have hurt me. And I'm just saying that if we're going to talk about it, we should talk about some of the things that it's been hard for us to cite solar farms. It's been hard for us to cite some of the sustainable energy things we've been wanting to do.
Let's talk about water. I know the city of Livermore is trying to, as Chairman Hoffman passed up, adding water to Newland Canyon to help some of the agricultural opportunities there. These are real things that I don't think people would find there. He's just coming up with positive reasons to have them there that helps in the long run.
We should frame that as that. Get rid of the unintended consequences and just...
These are the kinds of things that we want to be able to talk about. How do we want to approach it in the future? At our workshop, I mean, there's sure there are a lot of other issues with this measure being that are impacting the overall planet.
I'm going to try to shift it.
It sounds like you want a week-long thing. But first of all, I like the tone of the discussion. Now, these issues that you're bringing up, I think it ties very well into Mr. Pico's idea of reviewing, making the presentation materials and the information that's been presented to the Commission over the past couple of years, but to hone in on what are some important issues that the Commission wants to focus on.
So I like that idea. And so at the same time, I want to remind the commission that it could be an Allegheny County measure. So, you know, the commission can certainly, we can certainly gather information and talk about it and maybe present some information ultimately to the county. But, it, you know, I don't know that LASCO, it's not necessarily under LASCO's purview to make changes to the measure or do that kind of work, but it does impact LASCO, and there is, when we did the open space workshop a couple of years ago, which was right around, and I remember vividly, the vote for the area, because I think it was like the day after, and Mr. Henry was not very happy at that meeting, I remember. And he came to recommend voting for that, and you were not happy. You're not in that
maybe because I was
We can definitely weigh in and ask those, and Glenn's idea for working with our Bay Area colleagues, so he's correct. The staff we do meet, I'm not sure how logistically it would work to have the commission get together, but we can, I can talk to my colleagues about that and see what they think. I don't know if you recall, but there was this idea for regional kind of meetings to happen, and Allegheny County is part of the coastal region, which includes 14 or 15 counties along the coast, stretching from maybe Mendocino down to Ventura. So we talked about doing that, and that's never really rare. So, you know, that's an idea. But so for the strategic planning workshop, I think we could talk about a lot of these ideas. I'm not sure we would want to use that time to delve into all of the issues that you're talking about with MEGA-D and having presentations, but I think it could be interesting to have some case study provided by people, you know, who deal with this every day. So, I would like some feedback from the commission about how long you want to have the session be. I have talked, so the last time we did this, it was in August, which seemed to be a good time for the commissioners to get together. Okay. So trying.
Well, I wasn't very happy.
Well, that was not. You were very happy.
I'm always very happy.
I'm sorry. Thank you so much.
You were the host.
I've already spoken to Bill Shiat, who was a facilitator last time, and he intended to be available July or August. He has some availability in September and October as well, if we needed to move it out some. And I can work maybe with the policy and budget committee members on the agenda as well. But how long do you want the session to go would be important for me to hear, because you have a lot of great ideas, and that could take some time.
Yeah, I recommend it to be an all-day session, because I think we could put the entire day to good use.
Measure D, which it doesn't have to be. But I guarantee you, if you have a balanced discussion of agriculture in Allegheny County,
And one of the things I didn't finish my thought on was, so when we have the agriculture open space workshop, which was separate from the speech planning thing, so one of the key things to remember that is under Lafayette's purview is to change boundaries. And so Measure D is a voter approved urban growth boundary from an incorporated, it affects unincorporated Allegheny County, but if a jurisdiction decides to annex that territory, it's not subject to Measure D anymore.
So how about the ones to think about that? Right. It's not, but in order for
you
to change your boundaries, you have to go to the other
people. Right. No, but it's possible if the local population believes it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's not.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well.
Oh, no.
So every object, almost physically or by enactment by the council or the citizen, well, every city in the county has an urban, some other urban, I mean, Livermore is not technically one. It's technically, you can't extend services outside the current boundary without a vote. But in fact, I think every city does.
And that kind of information I could certainly bring to the strategic planning workshop just for some kind of basis of information, but I can see what the outcome from the strategic planning workshop might be to have another added open space session, which is just devoted to that issue, which would include Measure D. It could include that for discussing whether they want to have some policy or something in place to address when agricultural lands are annexed. Which again is what's under Lasso's purview. So with that, I appreciate the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any other comments.
Can we just say there's the outreach and the outreach to Senator Barton and get this tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yes. Yes.
Outreach.
Yes, so we'll see how that goes. And I have a bit more of an update for item 13, especially.
Item 13, then. You listed it before.
Okay. So that staff report includes much information about the legislative committee activity, and Commissioner Slendori was a member of that committee, so he may have some additional comments as well. But I wanted to point out that while the agenda noted this item as an action item, I don't really, CalAPCO has not actually asked for letters of support or opposition yet, so I don't really have any specific requests for allowing CalAPCO to take a position, but I do anticipate CalAPCO requesting letters of support for the omnibus bill that includes non-controversial technical changes to the 14th amount search for gas, and there are two CalAPCO-sponsored bills. That I expect that CalAPCO will ask for letters of support from. So if I could get approval now for CalAPCO sending in those letters, that would be appreciated. One of the CalAPCO sponsored bills addresses some concerns that resulted from a judicial decision regarding the Turlock Irrigation District, and it has to do with how once CalAPCO has approved extending services outside jurisdiction's boundaries, those services then exist. And under the annexation rule, there's one provision that says that the services have to be new in the annexation area. And so I perhaps Commissioner Slendori would be able to explain this better from a lawyer's perspective.
I'll explain it from a non-lawyer.
Sure.
The court made the right decision because the law wasn't written properly. So this is not to correct an injustice that was an unintended consequence.
Mm-hmm.
But it came to the right decision because of the way it was written. But it should not, the people in that district should have been able to vote for it. That's what didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it should have been able to. And so this is trying to correct that. That's as simple as that.
It's a very specific.
Very specific.
Yeah.
Very specific.
And the second CalAPCO sponsor bill, CalAPCO is going to be a co-sponsor with the California Special Districts Association on a bill to help streamline feeding special districts on LASO, which I know is not an issue for all of your LASO, but there are many LASOs out there that help special district members that hopefully will.
Well, that all ties back to what I was talking a little bit about the redevelopment agencies and how we had a little discussion over that in this county, they all have their act together and there's never a vacancy. You can talk to each other and the mayor is the same thing. You'd be surprised. They don't talk to each other. And you have supervisors, I could specifically talk about supervisors who keep special districts off on purpose.
Yeah, there's that situation. There are other counties that have, and special district members don't be surprised to hear this, I don't know, 80 special districts in their counties, and so getting form is often a challenge.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are reasons why there are lack of special districts, but this is one, and I also think I should mention that, as you're aware, the Little Hoover Commission has special districts on their radar screen, and there's been some issues about what are all the special districts, who are they, to meet them. So I think CSEA is trying to strengthen its position, and having representation on LASO helps strengthen special district position. So I think it's something that they're really at the forefront of, and Cal LASO has decided they would like to be the co-sponsor for that one. And the last thing I wanted to mention is that the Assembly Local Government Committee yesterday held an oversight hearing on the health care district, which I felt was particularly relevant for us. The title of that was the evolution of health care districts, and I provided you all with a copy of the agenda and some materials that they handed out. And that's what I would say. So the agenda included overview presentations by the Legislative Analyst Office and by an attorney named Michael Colantano, who is very familiar with LASO. He's a contract attorney for Sun LASO and does a lot of public sector work. And he presented some overview information about LASO's role in healthcare districts. And there were case studies presented by several LASOs as well. By several healthcare districts, and there were two LASOs that were there. One was Contra Costa and the other was Sonoma. And when I took away from the Assembly Local Government Committee hearing, and it was interesting to hear what Pamela Miller from Cal LASO has to say about it, but it seemed like the committee members had some concern that they were troubled even by the lack of transparency and accountability of some of the healthcare districts. They mentioned specifically that they've tried to look up on the website for some healthcare districts. They couldn't find a website presence. They couldn't find any information. They couldn't figure out who the board members were. That was a concern to them, which is justified. And they also had concern about districts that are in the business of providing community grants as their prime business, of which we have one in our county. And the concern that they had about that was not so much that they're doing that as a healthcare district, but do they have policies and procedures in place that are transparent and make the districts accountable for what they're doing? And is there a nexus between grant funding that is being given out and healthcare, because these are healthcare districts? And so, it was an interesting thing to hear all the presentations. I'm not sure what will come out of it. There was some discussion about whether LASO should have more oversight. They did not discuss what that oversight might be. The Assembly Local Government Chairperson is a former LASO commissioner from Yolo County. She's supportive of LASO, which I think is a nice change of pace. Pamela in Sacramento, where she's been taking less support from the legislature, as have we. Columbia County is experiencing less support. And so it's not clear whether the committee is going to take that again or not, or what's going to happen next. But the Association of California Healthcare Districts was there, and they made a point of saying to the committee and their staff that they would like to work with them on potential legislative changes to strengthen the healthcare district law. So I'm anticipating that outcome, and I'm probably the one thing that happens. And then the other thing, which I just wanted to mention, is the Little Hoover Commission, I don't fully follow exactly the chain of events here, but the Little Hoover Commission had a meeting, I think they had when we had a legislative committee meeting, because we thought it was worth them, that they did not accept their staff recommendations in the report. There was a report that they were considering, and rather decided that they would like to have another hearing and then maybe have a different report or an amended report or something. So it's not a status they're happy with that, but they anticipate maybe in the fall having another hearing. So that's what I've heard about that. I don't know if the special members have heard more about it.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's my report there.
Okay, let's initiate the members of the commission. Items were available for review and any questions on the next item. Okay, I will then adjourn to the next regular meeting. April 11th, 6 p.m. at the Cheshire Library. That's going to be regarding the Trotka. And the next regular meeting is May 11th, 2 p.m. Right here at NHRC. Do you have any notes for the business?
Commissioner, that's what I want you to know. I'm going to email your site and claim form, and then you can sign it and get it back to me. Sorry, I forgot to bring it. Yeah, for today. I forgot to bring the notebook. It was in.
Thank you.